I'm Pastor Bill, and I also welcome you to Cornerstone. But unfortunately, I have some bad news to share with you today, which is bad for graduates, it's bad for young adults, it's bad for families, it's bad for our children. It's not new news, it's not even a secret, it's just bad news that our world is in a mess of trouble and conflict. Just to give you an idea, we tried to pull some snapshots together. Take a look at the screen for a second. The bad news is our world is in conflict at every level. Conflict within our own souls that then moves out and creates conflict with each other. And then it just mushrooms from there to there to there to there. So that our world is being devastated by the conflict that's going on in it. And we got to figure out how we're going to respond to that. We could try to ignore it and just kind of hope it doesn't mess with us. We can resign ourselves to it and say, well, that's just the way it is. That's the way it's always been. It's the way it's always going to be. We can absolve ourselves of it. We can think, well, I'm not in a position of power or influence to change things, so it must be somebody else's job to address. When it comes to our own interpersonal conflict, we can try to avoid conflict and hope that it just kind of magically goes away. There are all kinds of options that we have for how we will respond to the conflict and mess that's in the world. Or we could listen to Jesus in the Beatitudes for how he wants us to enter into the mess and conflict of the world and how he wants us to do something about it. So the Beatitude that we've come up to talk about today, Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And first, I just want to kind of dig into that Beatitude so we really know what Jesus is saying. And then I want to talk about how we can be peacemakers in three areas of our lives. So first of all, the central word in the Beatitude is that word. It's a combined word, but it's the word peacemaker. But we got to realize that our English word peace doesn't really convey the totality of what Jesus is talking about here. The Hebrew word, many of you know, is the word shalom. It's actually considered one of the great theological words of the entire Bible. And shalom, I mean, peace, when we think of it, peace tends to just have to do with resolving conflict or the absence of conflict. But the rich Old Testament term shalom, which is very multifaceted and very wide, it has to do not just with not having conflict, but it has to do with well-being and serenity and tranquility. It has to do with having a full and abundant life. When Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, he's not just saying, blessed are the people who go and solve conflict. He's saying, blessed are the people who go into the world with a devotion to bring thriving and well-being to every person. So if you had Jewish friends in your lifetime, you may be familiar with their greeting, shalom. Shalom is, it's not just a nice way to say hi. Shalom is actually a rich blessing that when your Jewish friend says to you shalom, they're saying that they long for you to have an abundant and full and complete and joy-filled life. So it's still a common greeting among Jews. It's also the common greeting in the New Testament. And by the way, in the New Testament, over 100 times, the New Testament talks about peace. Over 300 times, the Old Testament talks about it. But it was the common greeting in the New Testament as well. Remember how many of the writings of the New Testament begin with grace and peace to you. Every single one of Paul's letters starts out, peace to you, shalom to you, well-being and thriving to you. Both of Peter's letters begin with it. One of John's letters begins with it. And the book of Revelations begins with peace to you, because peace is a way that we speak blessings to other people. And so when we hear Jesus in this beatitude say, blessed are the peacemakers, let's understand that that's not just to go and address conflict. That is a commitment to that every person I ever meet, I am longing for their greatest well-being. Which is why, by the way, the Messiah was referred to as the Prince of Peace, the one who would come and bring that fullness and well-being. And I love Proverbs 12:20 says, there is joy for those who plan peace. And think about it. Who else on the face of the earth is commissioned and challenged to go into the world and seek the well-being of every human being? Who else other than the followers of the Prince of Peace? The world's not going to find this kind of shalom, this kind of well-being. It's not going to find it in military power. It's not going to find it in political power. It's not going to find it in government programs or conspicuous consumption or from sports and entertainment or from power and success or from money and vacations or from education and vocational advancement. The shalom of God is going to come as the followers of the Prince of Peace commit themselves to the well-being of every person on the face of the earth. The second part of the word, we translate it peacemakers, but the word is actually not maker. The word is do, and so a literal translation will be peace doers, but that's not an English word, so we use peacemakers. The point being this, Jesus isn't asking us just to long for and to like and to love shalom and peace. Jesus is calling us to do something about it. We cannot fulfill this beatitude if we do nothing. Reminds me of that phrase there, or that sentence that we've heard very often. The only thing necessary for evil to prosper is for good people to do nothing. When the followers of Jesus avoid conflict, when the followers of Jesus neglect it, when they think that it's somebody else's job to contribute to the well-being so that they don't do it themselves, when the followers of Jesus do nothing, evil prospers in the land. And to be blessed by Jesus, as this beatitude talks about it, we each and every one of us has to do something. I don't know what that something is going to be for you, but I know that there is something that every single one of us is supposed to do regularly to contribute to the well-being and life of the world. So with that kind of understanding that we're talking about thriving and doing something about that, then let me talk to you about three areas of our lives where I think we would benefit to become more intentional peacemakers. The first one is in peacemaking with God. The Christian faith believes that the core of all shalom and well-being in the world is a harmonious relationship with God, the creator of the universe. And because we can't give away what we don't have, before we can go out into the world and be peacemakers, we have to have a fundamental peace with God, which means that to be peacemakers, we have to have clarity on the gospel. So here's the gospel in a nutshell. God, who's the author of shalom, as a matter of fact, Judges says God is shalom. God longs for well-being and thriving for every human person, for everyone he has created in his image. God has this overwhelming love for every human being, that he wants them to be filled with abundant life and satisfaction. That's the good news, is God is way more committed to us and way more committed to all those people in our lives and all the people in the world than we can imagine that he possibly could be. The problem is, as most of us know, that our sin and our rebellion disrupts our harmony with God, the creator of the universe. Whenever we choose our ways over God's ways, then our well-being is sacrificed. There are times when, you know, I'd like to think I was holy, that I don't sin because, you know, I'm more godly than that. There are times when I just don't want to sin because I just don't feel like going through that much pain again. I just don't feel like having to deal with the mess and the disruption that comes from sin. And the problem is that our sin always, always, always disrupts our well-being with God. But God is so committed to us that Jesus, God in the flesh, came to visit the human race and was willing to die so that we would be forgiven. So just a couple scriptures that just kind of emphasize this point, which many of you will be familiar with. Isaiah 53, referring to Jesus. He was pierced for our sins. He was crushed for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. Colossians 1 says that God made peace through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. And Acts 10:36 says, this is the message of the good news. Here's the good news in a sentence. There is peace with God through Jesus Christ. So the amazing part of this is that all we need to do is confess our sins, ask for forgiveness, ask Jesus to become the leader of our lives, and it opens up whole new levels of shalom and thriving in our peace with God. And I want to give a chance just here. I want to take just a few minutes of quiet, because most of you have stepped over that line of faith. You have asked Jesus to forgive you, and you have asked him to be the leader of your life. But there may be some here today who haven't done that. And so I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And it's this easy. I mean, it's crazy that it's this easy to actually be saved, to have peace with God. Simply confess your sins. God in heaven, I have rebelled against you. Jesus, will you forgive me? And will you lead my life? And so I want to take only about, you know, 40 seconds here to let you pray that prayer. Because here's, you want to know something God doesn't know? All right, most of us would be intrigued with that. Here's something God doesn't know. God doesn't know a better day than today for you to step over the line of faith, to confess your sins and ask Jesus to be the leader of your life. So in this quiet, if you're already a Christian, then your job is pray for others in the room who are not yet followers of Jesus, that they might pray this prayer. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, there is no better day than today. So let's be quiet, and then I'll just kind of finish with an amen, and we'll go on with the rest of the sermon. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you for anyone here who prayed that prayer. I thank you because they're going to discover a whole new richness to life that is at peace with you. And so I pray that you will bless them. And I pray that we will all have more and more clarity on the gospel, so that part of our being peacemakers will also be to help others step over the line of faith. And we pray that at Cornerstone, that as we are all clearer and more effective in sharing the good news, that we would hear testimonies of lives who have been saved and celebrate baptisms of new believers in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, then tell somebody today. come and tell me, tell one of the other pastors. If you want to, go to the back of the auditorium and tell one of the prayer ministers that are there, because we want to, or just tell somebody in the room who you know is already a follower of Jesus. We want to celebrate with you, and we want to give you some ideas for how to begin this new spiritual journey that is starting in your life. All right, but there's a second way that the scriptures talk about peace. I thought when I first read this beatitude, the sermon was going to be about taking peace out into the world. But I have to tell you that week after week, I meet Christian after Christian after Christian who has peace with God, but they're not experiencing the peace of God in their lives. So I want to reflect with you for a few minutes about peacemaking for our own souls. Think about the last time that you were distressed or depressed or confused or anxious in your life. And kind of return to what that was like. Some of you are there right now. Some of you have been there for over the last few weeks. Most of us get to points in our lives where we just plain ache. And we don't have, and we have peace with God, but we don't have much of the peace of God in our souls. It hurts. It's painful. It is confusing. And so we do well, because we can't give away what we don't have. We do well to nurture spiritual practices that are creating the peace of God in our own souls. And there are so many scriptures that have to touch on this that I mean, the hardest thing I had to do yesterday was cut out, like, you know, 80% of the scriptures. And I want to just share with you just three spiritual practices that will nurture the shalom of God in our lives. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body." That's what I'm aching for every believer, that we might have hearts of peace that give life to our bodies. Because you know what? When we don't have the peace of God, that's when we binge watch Netflix. That's when we binge eat. That's when we binge shop. That's when we binge on so many. Because we're looking for something to fill this ache that we have inside of us. When we are content and at peace in our souls, we don't have to get other people to fill the gap that's inside of us. We don't have to get other things to fill that gap. We don't need money, sex, and power to try to build us up. Because here's what happens when we have that lack of calm and serenity and fullness of life within us. We look to other people and other things to fill it. When those other people and other things stop filling or stop dulling the pain inside of us, we get angry at them and we cut them off. When we don't have the peace of God in our souls, we contribute to the mess and the conflict of the world. So let me give you just three, and there's so many I could have picked from. Here are just three spiritual practices to help you experience the peace of God in your soul. The first one is to trust in God alone for your shalom. To trust in God alone for this peace. Because, you know, God created every single one of us. He created every human person with a God-shaped vacuum inside of us. Something inside of us. And as long as we're not letting God fill that, then we are contributing to the conflict in the world. Which means your work's not going to fulfill it. Your grades are not going to fulfill it. Your parents are not going to fulfill it. It means that a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse is not going to fill that. If there is a gap within you that is God-shaped, only God can fill it. And so listen to a couple scriptures. Psalm 4:8. Psalmist says, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, in shalom, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Don't go looking for other people and other things to fill your God-shaped vacuum. Trust in God alone. So Isaiah 26, verse 3. The Lord will keep, catch this, the Lord will keep in perfect peace. Not just peace, but perfect peace. The Lord will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in God. So start to go to God and God alone to give you that well-being in your life. Everything else on top of it is icing on the cake, because at the core of your true self, you will be filled. You won't need to use and abuse other people and other things to get filled up, because you've gone to God. So Romans 5:13, the God of hope will fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him. Now, bad stuff comes into our lives, right? That's an opportunity. Every time that happens, it's an opportunity for us to trust the love of God and to trust the promise of God, because God has promised that he will work together all things. Nothing's left out of that. God will work together all things for the good of those who are called according to his purposes. Trusting in God alone will bring us peace in our souls. Secondly, scriptures say that personal righteousness leads to the peace of our souls. And we know that's true, right? Sin disrupts our well-being. It simply does. Isaiah 48, there is no peace for the wicked. The fruit of holiness in our lives is great peace. And so Romans 8:6 says, the mind controlled by the Holy Spirit is life and peace. Unconfessed, ongoing sin in our lives will always rob us of the shalom and well-being of God. So let's deal with them. And if we're struggling with some area of sin that we can't get victory, let's get a brother or sister in Christ. Let's bring them into it. Let's confess to them so that we can have victory once again, because far too many of us are suffering the anxiety of sins that we've not confessed. And then thirdly, and then I'll stop with third practice that contributes to our shalom. It's actually Philippians 4. This is a scripture that I use in pastoral counseling more than any other scripture. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Do you know what the next phrase is? This is a verse that you really ought to memorize, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer. Prayer where we say, God, this is what I need, this is what I want, that has with it elements of thanksgiving. Prayer of petition and thanksgiving pave the way for us to know the peace of God that passes all understanding. This is a surpassing peace. This isn't just kind of some neutral little peace, but this is a surpassing peace. It's not the situation that changes and gives us peace. It's that God gives us his peace. And it's interesting, this peace that God gives us in response to an active prayer life is a peace that guards our hearts. All those wounded emotions, all of those insecure feelings, all of that shame, the peace of God that passes under all understanding will guard our hearts and guard our minds. Those doom loops that we get trapped in when we are anxious, those things that we worry about constantly, those thoughts that just keep going and going and going and we can't escape, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So I want to encourage you, if you want more of the shalom of God in your life, develop a more active prayer life. And if for some reason your prayers are just kind of not going anywhere, once again, that's an invitation to invite another Christian into your life to pray with you. And our prayer ministers are actually trained to pray with you because they long for you to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. So if for some reason your prayers are getting hung up, then go to the back of the auditorium, meet with prayer ministers this week, next week, or the week after, so that you can release again the shalom of God in your life. All right, we need to move on. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the children of God, which means people who make peace with God, and also people who are peacemakers for their own soul. But there's a third direction that we've got, or area that we've got to talk about, when we think about peace being peacemakers. It's not good enough for us to have peace with God and to experience the peace of God and then do nothing about it in the world. The question here is, what does it take, or what does it mean for us as followers of Jesus to be agents of shalom in the world around us? If you've been a Christian for quite some time, if you grew up in the church, it is very likely that this is an area where there's a gap in your spiritual discipleship. Because over the years, we have learned better how to walk with God than we have learned how to go out and address the brokenness that's in the world, the systemic evil that's in the world, the conflict that's in the world. So if you've been a Christian for a long time, this may be one of those areas where we need to join together to learn how to go out into the world and be peacemakers. As followers of the Prince of Peace, we can sensitize ourselves. We can learn how to sensitize ourselves to every form of injustice that we see in our lives and in the world. We probably can't figure that out on our own, but in community, we can figure out how to look out for the marginalized, how to stand up for the disenfranchised. And it's time for the church once again to take its rightful place to bring the shalom of God into the world. And that means that we're going to have to learn together some new skills. For one thing, we're going to have to do a better job of being at peace with one another, okay? We're going to have to, most of us are probably going to have to unlearn some destructive ways of doing conflict from our families of origin. We're going to have to unlearn this tendency to avoid conflict. If we're going to go out into the world with any credibility, we've got to resolve and reconcile and heal and thrive in our relationships in the family of God. This is going to affect, as we see ourselves as agents of peace in the world, it's going to affect how we function in our schools and in our workplaces. Because we will not be among those who gossip and create chaos and conflict in our schools or in our workplaces. We will be the people who have to learn the skills of reconciliation, the skills of bringing life into the places where God has placed us in the world. And then we've got to rise up again in the church to address the racial conflict, the religious conflicts, the international conflicts. We've got to enter into the world with a whole new way of thinking. Not that we are passively just kind of watching what's going on, but we've got to re-enter the world as the agents of God's shalom, which means that one of the phrases that we're talking a lot about in the vitality, the vision pathway for the church, which means that we've got to learn how to seek compassionate justice as the people of God. Because who else is going to do it other than those who are the followers of the Prince of Peace? The only thing we cannot do when it comes to the mission of peace in the world, the one thing we cannot do is nothing. We cannot just go along with our lives and do nothing. Together, as agents of shalom in the world, we can start to address every form of violence that we see in the world. Whether that's emotional abuse, whether that's domestic abuse, whether that is terrorism, whether that is war, we can start to respond as agents of God's shalom. Together, as agents of shalom in the world, we have to stand up against, we have to identify and stand up against systemic evil, which is why we've got to become aware of things like mass incarceration, why we've got to become aware of things like human trafficking, why we have to become aware of unfair trade, and it's why we have to enter the dialogues about how we treat refugees and the homeless. Because if the agents of God's shalom don't show up, what hope is there for those who are wounded? As agents of shalom in the world, we've got to think differently about our politics. We've got to think differently about things like foreign trade and foreign aid. We've got to approach the world no longer passively, hoping someone will make it better, but we've got to enter the world and into the messiest parts of the world as the agents of God's shalom. So the bad news is this. Our world is a mess. It's not going to get better just by sitting around and hoping that it gets better. The good news is God cares. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has commissioned us to go into the world with the gospel so that people will have peace with God, with spiritual disciplines so that we can have the peace of God flowing through our lives, and with a commitment to contribute to the thriving and life of the world. So let me leave you with this. None of us can do everything, but every one of us can do something. And as each of us does something for the life of the world, God can do everything. Wouldn't it be amazing if in this generation, the world would watch Christians and say, you're a peacemaker. You contribute to the well-being of the world. You must be a follower of the Prince of Peace. You must be one of the children of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it is with some humility that we listen to this beatitude and realize that we have so far to grow. But then you remind us that that's why you have filled us with your Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, the first triad of the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, and peace. Help us to be students of peacemaking in our lives. Don't let us walk away from this message and forget it. Help each of us today and tomorrow to listen to the words of Jesus and long for the thriving of the world so that we do whatever it takes to be agents of shalom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.